The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Early 90s hip hop for the last time Washington was this good. They haven't done this 10-5 thing since 1991. That's why I put a little MC Hammer on the playlist. Aris has done a great job of tracking down all of the 90s hip hop tunes. Without further delay, on air and on the road, our guest, Jay Gruden, is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com. Coach Jay Gruden joins us for his weekly spot. Jay, what's up, man? How was your weekend?
What's going on? Everything's good. Just down here in Tampa with some family and grandkids. All's good.
Fantastic. There's all sorts of big words, all sorts of hyperbole that could go around about yesterday, but quantify it for us. What did you see from Jaden Daniels and that unbelievable comeback?
Yeah, clutch, man, just clutch. Ice water in his veins, all the normal things you're going to say for an elite player. Never blinked. You know, that's the beauty of it. You know, he had a couple picks and didn't play his best football there for a while, but he just kept grinding, stuck with the plan, had the confidence, he just had everything about him, the swagger about him, and got it done at the end. That's what you love to see about a quarterback. The moment is not too big ever for this kid.
When you're a play caller and the run game clearly wasn't working yesterday, you know, Cliff was trying some different stuff with screens, quick game, even still trying to run the ball up the middle, just clearly wasn't working. How do you adjust there as the game goes on where something clearly isn't working, you need to make a change? How do you do that as a play caller where you don't completely abandon the run, you don't completely leave it, but you kind of put more on the quarterback's shoulders?
Yeah, you're right. It's really hard. You know, I've been in games calling plays, and you lose a yard, you're second 11, second and 12, you try to run the next time, you get a holding penalty or whatever, you just want to abandon it altogether, but you can't do that. And I think Cliff did a great job of, even though they only got a couple yards here and there, still got to keep the defense honest. You can't make your team one-dimensional. But at the end of the day, it was a passing game that did it, a Jaden scrambling ability that did it, and they got it done. But they still had a clutch run on third down and one or fourth and one with B-Rob there at the end of the game and made some plays when they had to. But being balanced is critical, but sometimes a team's defense is pretty damn good at stop and run like Philadelphia's is with those two huge guys up the middle.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Toby Altizer in for Grant Paulson. Jay, as a coach, what do you say when it was that bad? You know what I mean? Like, what are you telling the team? Like, they got off to a terrible start. Philadelphia's really good. They're just totally outclassed. They couldn't even get a running playoff as Jalen Carter knifed into the backfield, gave Brian Robinson his first fumble of the year. They couldn't get anything going, couldn't do anything right. And even after it looked like Frankie Louvu changed the momentum, there's still a touchdown right after that and a long run from Barkley. What are you saying to guys? What are you having coaches say to the players to kind of keep them in it from letting it snowball?
Yeah, you got to stay upbeat. You got to stay positive and make sure everybody sticks with the plan. I mean, you had a plan all week long. You practiced it. You prepared for these moments. You prepared for being up. You prepared for being down, quite frankly. And I think the drive when they were down 21-7, a 94-yard drive, was the best drive in the Washington season when he hit the go ball to Diami and then the touchdown to Terry. I think that gave everybody hope and confidence that they could get it done through the air. So, yeah, you just got to stick with it and hope your playmakers make the plays.
Defensively, you know, they started really slow. Obviously, Jalen leaves the game, and then they're able to at least stop the run a little bit with Saquon and Kenny Pickett. And what'd you see out of the defense where they made some adjustments, were able to make some hay? Obviously, Jalen out of the game, but they played a lot better once they were able to finally stop Saquon Barkley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, after that 60-yard run, they did a great job on Saquon. I think he only averaged a couple yards of carry. That's hard to do against that guy with that offensive line. So they were getting off blocks. They were tackling well. They were playing great team defense, and they were hustling and running to the football. And Lugo was playing great. Bobby Wagner was communicating the fronts and all the movements. Chin was getting down in there a couple times, and Ron Payne had some good hits in there. So, yeah, that was a great job by the defense sticking with it and getting off blocks and making plays. That's what it's all about. You know, when you're getting blocked by a guy, you can either get off the block and make a play or continue to get blocked down the sideline and stay out of your gap. So Washington obviously made a concerted effort to stop the run and make Kenny Pickett beat him, and they did that.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Jay, what makes that Vic Fangio defense so special? Nobody's really done this to Philadelphia here over the last few months or so. That's what kind of makes it that much more remarkable to be. But break it down, if you would. What makes that defense so challenging to go up against?
Well, he does a good job of his coverages. He's more of a coverage defensive coach. He does a good job of playing different coverages of like 3-by-1 and 2-by-2. They'll change it up, and they're pretty sound at what they do as long as they can get home with 4. If they're not getting a lot of pressure, you can get after these coverages pretty well. As teams did against Miami last year when they lost their pass rushers. They gutted him pretty good when he was at Miami. So he's a good defensive coordinator, but he has to have the horses up front, the 4 guys getting home. And if they don't get home, man, it's going to be a long day for that secondary, and it proved to be true yesterday.
What do you think was different this time around for Washington's offense? Last time, you know, you talk about the passing game. Jaden didn't look really comfortable in their first matchup. This one, obviously 5 touchdown passes, the 2 picks, but he looked much more comfortable, was able to take the team on his back. What was the difference this time against Philly versus the first time?
I think protection was a lot better. I just feel like Jaden could set his feet and get off a progression and move around and find a second or third guy. And then if he had a lane, he could take it and run. You know, the other time against Philadelphia, there wasn't a lot of areas for him to run, and he was not able to get to a second or third progression. So I got to credit the offensive line for doing a good job. I know Philly was down a couple guys. They lost Gardner Johnson, the secondary. I think they lost Sweat and maybe another defensive lineman in there. Huff didn't play. So there was a couple reasons why Philadelphia couldn't get home, but the biggest reason is pass protection. It usually is. If you can get home with those 4 guys, it's always a nightmare for the quarterback. But when he has time to scour the field and then find lanes to run, Jaden Daniels will gut you.
Jay, five of their last six games, talking about Washington, their run totals look better because of Jaden Daniels, whether it's scrambles or a couple design things or whatever. But five of the last six games, they've really struggled to run the football with their running backs. Now, I know not having Eckler for a while certainly hurts that, but you know they ripped off a bunch of runs against Tennessee, ran for almost 270 yards, and it was incredible. But other than that, they've scuffled a little bit here over these last several weeks, getting going with their running backs and their traditional run game. What are you seeing there that isn't working?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on it. You know, the running game, there's so many moving parts that have to be in concert. And if the left guard overreaches the guy, or the center doesn't get the reach, or the right tackle doesn't, or the tight end doesn't get the cutoff, there's so many different areas where the back misses a cut. Everything's got to be damn near perfect in the running game, and sometimes it's not. And especially when you're playing against a guy like Jalen Carter or some of the defensive guys they played against lately. Tennessee has just totally given up. They're absolutely the worst team I've seen on tape in a long time. But, yeah, I mean, they just got to stick with it, man, because they're good enough to do it. It takes a lot of pressure off Jay just to hand it off, and then the threat of the zone read and the quarterback designed runs will help out the play action and everything moving forward, and B-Rob's a big part of that.
Talking with Jay Gruden here on G&D, Toby Altizer in for Grant today. How do you get an effective screen game? It feels like Kliff continues to try the screen game, understandably so when you're not able to get much in the run game, trying to get easy completions and easy yards. But it seems like the screen game recently has been very ineffective, and at best you're getting 1 to 2 to 3 yards. A lot of times they're maybe even missing a completion, they're missing a block, they're losing yardage. How do you improve the screen game and run an effective screen game?
The screens are hard. There's so many different kinds of screens. You got your halfback screens, you got your slow screens, you got the tight end dump screens, you got your bubble screens, you got your release screens with the wideouts. The key to those things is calling them at the right time and making sure linemen get out and get on their guys on the perimeter. And obviously, you got to have big receivers that can block corners and safeties. That's the biggest thing. And then obviously, get the ball out there and making the plays. And sometimes, you know, defensive linemen don't fall for the halfback screen. Sometimes a corner will come up in the cover two and blow up a screen because you can't get them blocked. There's so many variables to screens not working, but when they do work, they're great because it's easy for the quarterback. Just flip it out there and get the ball to your playmakers. But you got to have a lot of big guys out there on the perimeter. You got to have linemen getting out on the next level. That's easier said than done.
So I don't think this takes anything away from what Washington did, especially on offense, Jay, but kind of the, if you're a Philadelphia fan, you're going, the only reason you won that game is because Jalen Hurts got injured in the middle of it. And there may be some truth to that. Give me your thoughts there. You know, does Washington even have a chance, given the way the early part of the game went, if Hurts doesn't go out?
They score 36 points.
Yeah,
you have a chance for sure, 100%. You know, it's nobody's fault that he went out. It's part of football. Sometimes players get hurt. Sometimes they get thrown out, whatever. You got to play with the next man up. Kenny Pickett's a good quarterback. He started for the Steelers. He's a good backup quarterback. He's a first-round pick. Obviously, he's no Jalen Hurts. Who knows what will happen? We'll never know what will happen. The fact of the matter is Washington stuck with their guns, came from behind, and got a hell of a win at home.
Looking at the defensive side, Marshawn Lattimore kind of had an up-and-down game, made some nice plays, also had some pass interferences called and got beat a couple of times. What did you make of his performance, and how much does that defense change having him out there?
Yeah, I thought he was up and down. That's a great way to look at it. He had some pass interference calls, but he made some big plays on third down. He's just a little handsy right now. He's always been like that. He's just an aggressive corner. He's going to make some plays. He'll get a PI here and there, but I was impressed with Marshawn. And to be able to match him up against a player of A.J. Brown's caliber and be able to play single high, play man-to-man, is going to do wonders for them moving forward. Hopefully his hamstring's okay, because when they play Atlanta and they got they got the receivers they have. They play Dallas and CeeDee Lamb coming up. So, yeah, they're going to need a shutdown corner against the number one receiver, Drake London, coming this week. So it's going to be critical for them to get him healthy and playing well.
This is their biggest win of the year on a number of fronts. That's the best team they've beat. It's the first time they've gotten a win over a team with a winning record. And, you know, getting kind of over that kind of the bullies in the division, Jason. There's a lot of narratives there. What's kind of the course of action this week, though, as a coach, in terms of saying, hey, we still got a lot of things that we have to handle. Atlanta beats us. We're all of a sudden outside looking in. How do you kind of get everybody back down off that high, but, you know, kind of keep that confidence and momentum?
That's the biggest game of the year against Atlanta. It's just plain facts. I know it's not a division game and it's not your rivalry, whatever it might be. This is the biggest game of the year for sure. You got to get this win. This has to be pure focus on every detail this week, and nobody can let up. We have to continue to put our pedal to the metal, and get after them, because this would be a travesty if they beat Philadelphia and play the way they did and then come back and lay an egg against Atlanta. I don't think Coach Quinn will let that happen. I don't think Bobby Wagner will let that happen. I don't think Jaden will let that happen. That's the key to having quality people in your locker room. Terry McLaurin, these guys, these strong leaders that won't allow anybody to not perform at their best during the week of practice.
Well, and, you know, going off of a huge high like this, is it something where you just put it in the past, or are you trying to ride that emotion going into this Atlanta game? You know, understanding you got to get things together, but still live off that high of what happened this past week?
I think it's both. You know, I think when you have a bad game, you got to put it behind you. You got to learn from it. And when you have a great game, you got to put it behind you, but you got to learn from it. Now, I think what happens when you have a game like this, there's no deficit that's going to be too small for this football team. So if it doesn't go right for them early in the game against Atlanta, I don't think anybody will blink. I know the quarterback won't. That's the most effective. I know Bobby Wagner won't. I know the defense won't. I know Coach Quinn won't. And obviously, Kingsbury won't. So they have key people at critical spots that can handle situations and the way the game flows. So the most important thing for them is just to get in practice and play their ass off, practice and focus and come up with a great plan and get after Atlanta.
Jay, what'd you make of Michael Penix in Atlanta? I know they got as soft a landing spot as you can get right now in the Giants, who are, can't wait for that number one pick. I know there are a couple pick sixes in there, but he looked pretty competent to me. What did you make of Penix?
Yeah, the Giants, it's hard to watch them. They have absolutely quit. I've never seen a team this bad. I don't understand it. But Penix did some good things. He threw from, you know, he had some good drop back throws. He did some good things outside the pocket. Obviously, the pick sixes, and they had a big lead. He didn't have to do a whole lot. But for his first game against the Giants, I think he did pretty good. The jury's still out of whether or not this is going to be a good move for them moving forward for the playoff push, because obviously they have to win both or have to have Tampa Bay lose to win the division. So jury's still out for me. But, he's a great kid, and he's number one. He's a first-round draft pick for a reason, but got a long way to go.
How much does facing Saquon this week get them ready to face Bijan Robinson next week?
God, at least, this is back-to-back tough ones, right?
Yeah.
Bijan is a war daddy as well. He ran his tail off yesterday, and this will be another tough task for him because Atlanta loves the outside zones and the inside zones and all the things off of the toss cracks. They just got to, play their gaps. Do what they did against Saquon in the second half, man. Just get off blocks and run to the football. Make sure you're good sound tacklers. And then obviously you got to play for the boots and the play actions off of those things with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and those and Mooney. But I think they'll be fine.
Jay, speaking of just, teams packing it in or quitting or otherwise, that's not happening in Dallas. They were eliminated yesterday, and again, were not really impressive to me. They've won 4 of 5. They were the better team against Tampa last night. What do you make of that whole situation down there? It's wild to me. They're now kind of calmed down and playing their best football.
Yeah, I think it's a credit to Coach McCarthy, really. I think he's got the tough deal, tough rap. You know, they lose their quarterback. Cooper's come in and done some decent things, and they lost a lot of guys on defense. Micah missed some times. Obviously, Diggs missed some times. Bland missed some time. DeMarcus Lawrence missed some time. These are key components to their defense, and they were getting just bashed early in the year. Now these guys are starting to come back, and they're playing pretty sound on defense. They're running the football, and they're playing hard. They're also Overshawn, too, who's a hell of a young linebacker. I think coaching means a lot. I think these guys take a lot of pride in their job and playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and that's why I hope Washington gets this win against Atlanta this week, because I would hate to have to go to Dallas to seal a deal in week 18 or whatever week it is to get the playoff berth.
Big picture, looking at the NFC, who is the best team in the NFC? Obviously, Philly loses yesterday without Hurts. Is it Philly? Is it Detroit? Is Minnesota for real? Who do you look at as the top dog in the NFC?
I think it's, Detroit's defensive injuries obviously are concerning, but the way they play offense, they are damn near unstoppable. Jared Goff is throwing the ball as good as any quarterback I've seen in a long, long time. They're good. Obviously, Minnesota's, I think, offensively, defensively, special teams, probably most sound team on both sides of the ball. I love what Green Bay is doing right now. They're making a run. Philadelphia, if they get everybody back and healthy, obviously they're strong. It's going to be a great race. Then you throw in Washington in there with Jaden and their ability to score anytime, anywhere. It's going to be a hell of a fun thing to watch. But right now, I'd probably still say Detroit just because their offense is clicking at a very high rate right now, even though Montgomery's out.
Jay, appreciate the time, man. Have a great holidays.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jay. There he goes. That is Jay Gruden. He's on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com. So they beat the Eagles yesterday. You saw it, I saw it, we all saw it. It pretty much guaranteed through, obviously a couple things have to happen. You still have to make it into the postseason, etc. But if Washington makes it to the postseason by winning one of the next two games, and Atlanta loses one of the next two games, easiest thing to do is just beat Atlanta. But you're pretty much going to play Philly. That's pretty much what you guaranteed. Philly's going to be the two seed, right? The other division winners aren't going to be able to catch them. Philly's probably now not really going to get, not probably, pretty much has the toughest path to the one seed. I think Steve Kornacki, with his rolled up sleeves, was like, it's less than a 5% chance. And I don't even see that much, to be honest with you. So they're the two seed. You're probably the seven seed. You're playing Philly again. Is that good or bad? After yesterday, your opinion change about it. We will delve into that next on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.